Gimel Teves, Friday, the 10th of December, Rabbi Motti Rappaport, Pashas Vayigash.
Shalom Aleichem. So I flew in yesterday from Toronto, Canada. When you get on a plane, there's always interesting people that you meet. So I met this one individual, and he was telling flying jokes. So he says that one time, passengers get onto an airplane, and everybody's sitting waiting for the crew to come. And the crew gets on board, and the pilots come on. And the first pilot walks on, and he's leading a seeing eye dog. What do you call it here? A guide dog. He's leading a guide dog. He gets on the airplane. Everybody's confused. And the second pilot comes on, and he's got a white stick, and he gets on the plane with a white stick. So the passengers are a little bit confused. They think maybe it's a practical joke. The engines go on, the pilot, the plane starts to pull back, and it's taxiing down the runway, and it's gaining speed, and it's going faster and faster and faster, and it's hurtling down the runway. And people are looking out of the window, and they notice that the end of the runway is fast approaching, and at the end of the runway there's a sheer drop, a cliff down into a river, and they're getting nearer and nearer, and the plane is going faster and faster, and they let out a collective shriek and a shy, and mamish in the last moment the airplane goes sailing up into the air. So the passengers turn around, one guy says to the other, well, I guess it was a practical joke, I guess they're not really blind. Meanwhile, up in the cockpit, one pilot turns around to the other and he says, one day they're not going to scream and then we won't know when to take off. So this is the first time I'm speaking in this venue, and I know that I have a deadline. So if I reach my deadline and I continue, then you'll scream and you'll let me know that I should end. So this week, the drama that we've been hearing about for the past few weeks of Yosef and his brothers comes to a peak, and we find Yosef, when he finally can't hold himself back anymore, he reveals his identity to his brothers, and it's a very exciting story. It's a very, very exciting story, and we're sort of sitting at the edge of our seats, waiting. Every year it's the same story, but every year we're sitting waiting in anticipation for the end of this story. And it says in the pasuk like this. It says, Yosef is crying, Vayoyimah Yosef al Echov, Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Ovi Choy, V'lo Yochul Echov La'anei So'i K'nivhalu Mipanov. His brothers, they were in a complete state of shock. They couldn't answer. They couldn't respond anything to him. And we look at this as an epic drama, right? It's a fabulous story, and it's a real drama. Chazal look at things differently. Shalom Shvadron points this out. There's a medrash on this nekuda over here. Abba Kohen Ba'al Ha'ima. Abba Kohen Ba'al says, Oy lanu miyoyim adin, oy lanu miyoyim atoichocho. Woe is to us for this day of judgment. Yosef was the youngest of these Shvatim, and when the brothers saw, when the Teichacha of his revelation to them was such that they couldn't stand it, the Medrash says that Polcha Mishmasa, Lekshe Yovah Kadosh Baruch Hu Veyechiach Kol Echad Veechad Lefi Mashehu Alachas Kama Vekama. When the Rebbein Shalom will come and be Mechiach each and every single one of us, then all the more so, Ma, Neima, what are we going to say? Ma Nedava, what are we going to say? So this is just just simply, Reb Sholem says that look at Chazal the way they look at a story. Chazal look at a story and say, what can we learn from here? What can we gain from this that we are hearing about? But there's an interesting point over here that we sometimes miss when we learn through this medrash. Because it says, L'kshiyoveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yechiyach kol echot v'echot, when the Rebbein Shalom will come and be meichiyach, each and every single one, l'fi ma shehu, alachas kama v'kama. Three extra words. L'fi ma shehu. What do you mean, l'fi ma shehu? But is there a half a minute to say the Rebbe Shimon is going to be judging lefi masha achel about somebody else or through somebody else? What does it mean lefi masha? Seems to be extra. So it has to be somehow related to the story of the brothers, because the limud is from here. So what is it about the story of the brothers, of the Achi Yosef, what is it in this story that we see that there's something about the Lefi Mashahu over here, based on an individual? Maybe it's possible to explain like this. And let's imagine that you deal in scrap metal, right? And you order a shipment of scrap, 10 ton, and you take delivery, and you go through the schayra, and you discover that 1 ton is junk. Can't be used. It's wood, it's bricks, it's whatever it is, it can't be used as scrap metal. So you call up the supplier, and you say to him, listen, there's a pagam in the schayra that you sent me. There's a pagam over here. A whole ton is useless. Right? Now, let's imagine that you're dealing in jewelry and diamonds, and you buy a diamond, you take delivery of the diamond, and you pull out your magnifying glass, or your thing that you wear on your eye, right? And you look through your light and microscope and everything else, and you're inspecting the diamond, and you notice that there's a tiny fleck on the diamond. You call up your friend, the supplier, and you say to him, listen, there's a pagam in this diamond. Pagam. What's a pagam? A pagam is a fleck, or a pagam is a ton of bricks? What's a pagam? Well, it's the same word, but it describes something completely different. A pagam in a diamond is a tiny, tiny, tiny fleck. It's a mashu. You and I, we can't see it. Only an expert can see this pagam. But a pagam in a shipment of scrap metal, right, is a ton. Same word. It says that the brothers, Niskanu Boyachov, the brothers of Yosef, were jealous of him. But what does it mean, jealous? You know, I'm jealous of my brother. Yeah, my brother lives in Golders Green. Yeah, in the center of the world. I live in Toronto, Dolben and Heckveld, somewhere stuck in the middle of nowhere, right? It's winter 6 months of the year, snow on the ground for about four of them, right? Here, you know, you walk on the street, you can walk, you're safe, right? I'm jealous of my brother. I'm jealous my brother lives in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. I'm jealous of my brother. Yeah? There's lots of things that we have as human beings that we're jealous about. We speak about the Achi Yosef. We say the same words. They were jealous of Yosef. Is it the same thing? Same. We use the same word, but it's not the same thing at all. It's a completely different niskanu boyachov. This is what we're saying. We're saying that lefi mashahu, each person, each and every different person, the Rebbe Shalom judges that individual based on who they are. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't use a yardstick to judge me that he uses to judge you. And he doesn't use your yardstick to judge him. That's how the Rebbe Shalom works. But it's not just it's also here today. Rav Volbe brings down from Rabbi Yeruchim a phenomenal, phenomenal insight. Listen to this. Woe to an individual that doesn't know his flaws. Because then he doesn't know what to fix, what to repair. Woe is to an individual who doesn't recognize his abilities, his talents. Because he doesn't know his own work tools. It's terrible for an individual not to know his talents and his abilities and his minds. My father-in-law travels often to Moscow in Russia. And when he first started going, many, many, many years ago, he met a Yid by the name of Rabbi Avrom Meller. And this fellow told him that he was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. He says, Talmud from the Chofetz Chaim. He says, Zogida Epis from the Chofetz Chaim. He says, say over something from the Chofetz Chaim. So Rabbi Avrom Meller said to him the following thing. We say every week in Nishmas Kol Chai Tevorech Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu. Each and every single one of us has a responsibility to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? But we say, Ilu finu malei shira kayom, this is a very difficult task. If our mouths were filled with song like the sea, Ul sheinenu yinok ha'amin galov, And our tongues were able to praise like the sea, like the waves in the sea. We use all these superlative expressions, right, that we should praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we say, we can't. We can't. It's not possible. There's too much to thank you for. So what do we say? So what's the solution? If we can't do it, because even if it was merchavei shamayim, we wouldn't be able to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's the solution? Al kein, eivorim shepilagto bonu v'ruach haneshama shenafachta ba'peinu, hein hein yodi v'voruch. Therefore, eivorim shepilagto bonu. What's eivorim shepilagto bonu? Our little selves. If merchavei rokiya can't thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, so what's eivorim shepilagto bonu? How can that accomplish it? Chavetz Chaim said, imagine if, he said, a king once had a very, very good friend who was a villager, a very simple villager. And one day, he told the villager, he said, I'm going to come visit you. I'm going to come visit you at home. And the villager is very excited, the king is coming to visit. Cleans up the whole house, sparkling clean. And he thinks, what am I going to serve the king of? The king is going to want something to eat, something to drink. What am I going to serve him? I have tin dishes. I can't give the king tin dishes. He goes running around the village looking to borrow dishes. But the fanciest set of dishes in the entire village is a simple crockery set. You can't serve the king on that. And he's racking his brains. He doesn't know what to do. Finally he remembers that many years ago the king had given him a goblet. As a present, the king had given him a goblet. He thinks to himself, that's the solution. He lays a white tablecloth on the table. He puts the goblet down on the table. When the king comes, he's going to serve him a drink in the king's goblet. Because you can't serve royalty if you don't have royal dishes. Only royal dishes can you serve the king. That's what the Chofetz Chaim. So Chofetz Chaim says, that's pshat in what we say in Nishmas. That's very, very, very nice. But you know the right way to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, the right way to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a volim shepilag tobon. That's if we use that which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, his matonas to us, we use that to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. The Ribbono Shel Olam sent us all down with a toolbox filled with tools, and those are the tools which we have to use. You know, it's Erev Shabbos, yeah. So imagine a story. A mother sends her two children out shopping at Shabbos. One child, she gives him £10, and she goes, go to the fishmonger and pick up the fish order. Other child, she gives him £150, and she says, "Go. Here's a shopping list. Go to Tesco and buy this list." They step out of the house, and one kid turns around to the other and he says, "Tell me, how much money did Mummy give you?" And he says, £150. I said, £150? You see, I told you your mummy's favourite. I always told you your mummy's favourite. Look, I only got £10. Why did you get £150? So the other brother, you know, he feels bad. He's a nice boy. So he says, okay, you know what? Let's split it equally. Okay, I'll give you 70. I'll keep 70. And the other kid's very, very happy. And off they go, each one with £80 in his pocket. Anyway, the kid gets to the fishmonger. He says, I'm here to pick up the fish order. Picks up the fish order, he gives him £80. The fishmonger says, £80? I don't need £80. He'll take 70, right? And the kid walks out with £70 in his pocket. Meanwhile, the other brother is in Tesco. He's filled up his shopping trolley filled with groceries, right? And he's out by the checkout, and the teller says to him, £150, please. He only has 70. 60. 80. What did I say? He only has 80, right? We're exactly the same way. Except, the only difference is we don't get a shopping list. Right? But we want to fulfill our expectations, or should we say, we want to fulfill the expectations that Ribbono Shel Olam has for us with somebody else's abilities. You see, we're constantly looking around us, and the truth is like this. If every morning when we woke up in the morning, we opened up our inboxes, or we got a message on our BlackBerry, or however it works over here, you got a message on your voicemail from the Rebbeinu Shloimeh, right? There's a list from the Rebbeinu Shloimeh every morning on your BlackBerry, right? There's a list. This is what I want you to do today. This is what I want you to accomplish today. This is your responsibilities for today. That would be very, very easy. The problem is we don't get a list. We don't get a list. What we do get is a toolbox, right? And we have to figure out, from looking at the contents of this toolbox, what our chiyuvim are, and what is our responsibility in this world. And we get frustrated, right? Because, and I'll tell you a maisa, one middle of the night, my son woke up crying. He wanted a bottle. It happens. And so I go to take him out of his cot, and I go to the kitchen, sit him down on the counter, and I rummaging around in the kitchen cupboard for a bottle, find a bottle, fill it up with a little bit of hot water, honey, milk. And I don't know if you know this, but it's a very, very important piece of information. There are different standards for bottle caps. Okay, in El Tisrael and in America, it's different. The bottle, the screw mechanism is different. And if you have a bottle from El Tisrael and a cap from America, they don't fit well together. It's a fact. And the Yungalait, you know, you live in El Tisrael a few years, and then you pick yourself up and you go back to wherever it is that you came from. So I ended up back in Toronto, right? So I have a whole collection of bottles and bottle caps. And I don't know where they came from or how they got to my house. So I've got the bottle filled with milk, and I'm trying on this cap, and I'm trying on another cap, and it's a gatenished. And the kid is sitting on the counter, and he's crying. And he says, Tati, I want my bottle. Tati, I want my bottle. And I said, wait, Schaefer, wait, I'm just trying to figure out the right cap. And he said, what do you mean, right cap? He sees the bottle, and he sees the cap, and he doesn't understand what his father's problem is. Why can't you just give me the bottle? Just give me the bottle already. And I'm busy there trying to make it work. And he's so frustrated, he doesn't understand it. But I think, I know, that if I force this bottle cap on, and I give him the bottle, what's going to happen when he gets into his bed? It's all going to start to spill all over. Right? We're the same way. Right? We have a string of talents and abilities. And instead of applying our talents and our abilities to our responsibilities in our lives, we're busy looking at everybody else. We want his bottle cap, right? We want to fit that into us. And sometimes, you know, in our frustration with ourselves, and in our frustration with the our lack of successes, or maybe our perceived lack of successes, right? Our perceived lack of abilities, then we look at us and we think, can't the Rebbeinu Shloimeh just give me a little bit more of this, or a little bit more of that, a little bit more organizational skills would do me very, very well. Right, a little bit more, a better community, a different rov, health, parnosa, nachas, family, all these things that we look around and we say, if only I had a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, I'd be a lot better off. You know, I'm a teacher. I teach, and sometimes when I'm teaching in the classroom, I get very frustrated because I teach and I have a certain teaching style, and my talmidim, some of them, just don't fit in with that teaching. And I look at them and say, why can't you absorb the information the way I'm giving it? And the reality is that I can't expect that from them, because they have a different learning style. So I have to present the information differently in order for them to receive this information that I'm trying to transmit. It's an interesting thing that I read recently, that 80% of people are extroverts. It's not extroverts the way we understand it. 80% of people are extroverts and 20% of people are introverts. What does that mean? That means that 80% of people absorb their information externally. We learn from other people, interactions with other people, we hear stories, we hear information, right? And 20% of people are introverts, meaning that they do their own information gathering within. They like to read themselves, they like to study themselves, they don't want to hear a shia, they'd much rather learn it inside. Other people, I'd much prefer to hear a shia than learn it inside by myself. And here's an interesting thing. Right? So 80% of people are extroverts and 20% of people are introverts. The highest percentage of introverts in any profession is the teaching profession. Right? So you've got a teacher gets up to speak, right, and he's really, the way that he learns is introvert. Right? And most of his students are extroverts. They learn externally. Right? So one teacher, when I heard this shmooze, one teacher says, it's so interesting. because whenever I do group activities with my class, there are two kids that refuse to join the group. They want to do things on their own, and I never understood it until now. Right? They're different learning styles. Our children are the same in our own families, right? We have a certain way of relating to people, right? And we have a child, and the child doesn't fit our mold of the way we expect that we should raise our children. We have certain ideas, certain ideals in the way that we want to be machanach our children. And the child isn't fitting in to the way I want to teach him. And I want to educate him. Shamshon Rafalio says something that only Reb Shamshon Rafalio can say. He says that Yitzchok and Rivka are to blame for the way Esav was. Because they put Yaakov and Esav in the same classroom. And Yaakov and Esav do not belong in the same classroom. It's a phenomenal accusation to make against Yitzchak and Rivka, right? But there's a lesson to be learned. There's a lesson to be learned. That we try and fit and mold and squeeze the children into a certain mahalach that we've pre-designed, and when it doesn't fit, we get frustrated. We get frustrated because my child is not doing the way I want, the way I think that he should be. We're making a Matzah Shema, Bar Mitzvah, in a few weeks. Planning things that need to be planned. So I got a call from my Shvoga, and my Shvoga says that he would like to know which teacher I use to teach my son how to lane. Because he wants to set up his son with the same teacher. So I said, when's your Bar Mitzvah? 9 months. Right? 9 months. And he's already planning. I said earlier that I could do with better organizational skills, right? There's a reason I said that. In 9 months, he's already planning for his son. He's setting him up with a balkeira to teach him how to learn. I didn't think about it till about 2 weeks ago, right? And my sister-in-law calls my wife, and she says, "What color theme are you using for your bar mitzvah?" Right? What color theme? My wife says, "I never thought of a color theme," right? And she, in 9 months, she's making a bar mitzvah, she's already thinking about the color theme, right? So how do you respond when somebody calls you up and you're completely in another world? These things are not important to you, these things don't... How do you respond, right? Well, you respond graciously, right? You respond nicely. You don't ridicule the individual because they have a different way about them, right? You deal with it. That's the approach we have to take with our children as well. We actually learn this from the others. Avram, right, was Midas HaChesed, right? Archetypical Midas HaChesed, right? And he has a son called Yitzchak, who's Midas HaGevurah, right? Representative of Midas HaGevurah. Yitzchak, they say, right, that Yitzchak Avinu, when he yashened his father's tent with the four doors, so he barricaded the doors shut. Avraham Avinu was the Ish HaKiruv, right? He was Eish HaTorah HaSameach, the Torah way all rolled in one, right? And Yitzchak was completely different. That wasn't Yitzchak. So was Avraham disappointed in the way Yitzchak turned out? Was he upset that Yitzchak was a complete opposite to who he was? Was he disappointed? Avraham Avinu marries a Sarah, right? Sarah is also representative of Gevurah, right? She was there to temper Avram. In fact, when Avram Avinu after the Nisayim of the Akedah, so Sarah Imenu passes away. Why? Because Avram Avinu had reached that which he was supposed to do. That was what Sarah's status was. It was to temper Avram Avinu's Midas HaChesed. Yitzchak, what do we look for a Yitzchak? We look for a Rivka, which is Chesed, right? That's what we look for. Yaakov marries two wives, which is a whole other parasha. Yaakov marries Rachel, Yisrael marries Leah. That's a whole different story. But the understanding is that we are a certain way, and we have certain talents, and we have certain abilities, and we're not cookie-cutter shapes, as they say where I come from. But we're not cookie-cutter shapes. We have to look at our children and see what is it about this child that I can bring out as best as I possibly can? And we have to look at the people around us, our friends and our colleagues, and instead of being judgmental, we have to look at them, lefima shehein, who are they? Why must I be upset about the my friend, the way he is, because he's different than me? There's a famous maisa. I'll end with this, with Rav Naftali Amsterdam. Rav Naftali Amsterdam was a very serious person, and he was very, very Yushev. And one day a year, he would get a little bit lighter. On Purim, he would become a little bit lighter. And one Purim, he had a moment, and he went to his Rebbe, Rav Yisrael Salanter, and he cries to Rav Yisrael Salanter. He says, you know, if I would have the cup of the Shagas Aliyah, and if I would have the Yidus Shemayim of the Yisoid of Sheresh V'Avoido, and if I would have the Midas of the Rebbe, then the Rebbein Shalom would be happy with me, and then I could accomplish that which the Rebbein Shalom wants me to accomplish. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, no. He says to him, do, midayin kol, do, midayin yirat shamayim, midayin midas. That's what the Rebbein Shalom wants. This is the message of Lefi Mashahu. Lefi Mashahu means that instead of looking around us and seeing what else I could have had, I could have Pliny Almeni's family. I could have Pliny Almeni's bank account. I could have Pliny Almeni's life, and then I would live up to my accomplishments and my expectations. We have to stop doing that. We have to look at ourselves, within ourselves. Look at inside our toolboxes and see, what did the Rebbein Shlomo give me? What talents and what abilities I have? And how can I best utilize that which the Rebbein Shlomo gave me to serve the Rebbein Shlomo in a better way?